Previously on the Critical Mass Podcast.
Is this thing on? Okay.
I seen it happen. Eat a duck.
You saw a catfish eat a duck?
It's fuel for the imagination.
Do you hear things too?
Sound bites! Keep them frozen, they're good!
I hear someone.
No, don't turn it down.
Hi, I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
And you're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. We don't have extra special stuff today, just a usual helping of more of the same, which in our case is documentaries and gaming.
Yes.
We did get to see some pretty cool documentaries. We watched three of note.
Oh, yeah.
The first one was Rewind This.
Yeah.
And now, we weren't looking specifically for this documentary. What was the one we were looking for?
Adjust Your Tracking.
Right, and we discovered that it wasn't quite out yet. I think it comes out
this month.
Yeah, end of June, I think.
Yep.
And we discovered Rewind This, and it is about people who collect VHS tapes. This is their hobby. It's not really for purposes of preservation. Did you get that from
No, it's they. Not everything's on DVD, and they like the VHS. It's like the LP people.
Well, yeah, okay.
But on a higher scale, because, you know, they're the people that go see a box of VHS for a dollar. I'll take it.
Right, you know. And there's a pretty big difference. I mean, a lot of stuff on with music and stuff, a lot of stuff you can get in other formats.
Yep.
But the things that these people are collecting are, I mean, this is material that we've never heard of. And I thought we were pretty hardcore.
No, we're not.
Apparently not.
They were, you know, going all the way back when it first came out. They were dubbing tapes, disguising the front of it so they get through customs,
right,
so they watch it, because you couldn't get some of these movies.
Right. And, yeah, these aren't just, you know, random VHS tapes. I mean, these are obscure B-movie horror and
some
pornography.
Yes.
That is just, I mean, in one sense, I get it. These are artifacts that we're never, ever going to see again.
Nope.
I mean, they did bring up the thing, you know, VHS dominated the industry for 15 years.
Yeah, and they still say DVD won't.
Well, it won't. There's no way. Technology is advancing.
Already, it's already jumping past to the virtual shit.
What's
that online crap?
Yeah, I know. On demand, streaming.
No. Where you get the digital copy with the DVD. What's that?
Right, ultraviolet.
No, what's it called?
Streaming, ultraviolet,
what's
on
that?
Demand.
Vizio? Oh, what the hell is that thing? Well, it's what Walmart offers when you buy a digital
Vudu.
Copy. That's it.
Yeah, Vudu.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vudu is Walmart's brand.
Yeah.
Ultraviolet is the service they use.
Yeah.
And, you know, iTunes has been doing this for, you know, there's a lot of schools of thought on this. I do think that DVD and Blu-ray are not going to have the longevity that that VHS enjoyed. Nothing will.
No.
Technology is advancing too fast, too rapidly.
Yeah, now it is.
Mm-hmm. We're getting more stuff. I think that Blu-ray, however, is going to enjoy a greater longevity than DVD is.
Because of damn extras.
Well, because of the extras, maybe, but I think it has to do with the technology of television watching is going to have to advance for, you know, advance another stage in order for the market to justify the expense of another technological upgrade nation, you know, in the general market.
Yeah.
And I think that Blu-ray as a format is going to be here for a while because it is still a physical product. I think the online stuff is fine, and I use some of it. But at the end of the day, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to say, network. Oh, by the way, I sent you an happy birthday. I sent you an email for
here's a PDF.
Yeah, here's a PDF. Here's a Voodoo copy. No, not when I can go to Walmart. Wave file, exactly. Not when I can go and I can wrap up a Blu-ray box. And, you know, physical media is always going to be king.
Yeah. It better.
And I just don't see any way around that without a long-term shift in consumer habits. And it's not something that we're going to see. I'll even be so bold that it's not something that we're going to see probably during our lifetime. But that's just me, and I'm going to get...
No, you know, I see it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The way they're pushing everything nowadays, and your minimum selections and all that stuff. And
I still think physical product, maybe not Blu-ray, but physical products of one form or another are going to be around. But you know what? Whatever, however it shakes out, I don't think either one of us is standing in line to get the always remember tattoo with the Blu-ray disc on.
No.
No. Well, that's what the guys had.
They had VHS tapes tattooed on their arms with, yeah, never forget.
Yeah, no, yeah, something like that.
Tape. Yes, they are diehard VHSers. Which they, I mean, there is, if you look at the selection, DVD versus VHS, there's a ton of VHS out there.
There is. And you know what? I was in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
Back when VHS was king. I had the multiple decks set up to record stuff, and you know, I was into it. But not like these guys were. And as soon as DVD became practical and affordable for me, I dumped my VHS like a hotcake.
Yeah.
You know, it's and you know, there was a lot of reasons for that. The better quality of the DVD, the space save that I could save by going to DVD. But anyway. But it was a neat little documentary. It was available. Where did we watch it on Hulu?
Yeah, it was Hulu. You looked it up.
It had to have been Hulu.
Yeah.
Might have been Crackle, but I think it was Hulu.
No, it was Hulu.
But I'll put a link to that. It's an interesting time of life that, you know, we lived through, and yeah. No other generation is going to experience again, I don't think.
No, they won't, because they have electronics at birth.
Yeah, well, that. I mean,
it's, they the electronic age is past it. It's there. The next thing is, you know, they're used to it. There will be no, this is glorious and changing. It's
there. It's taken for granted. Yeah, they're born with a chip in their heads these days.
Not yet.
But,
soon.
It doesn't seem that way.
No, they're born with a phone attached to them.
So we also watched a pair of documentaries about gaming. The first one we watched was The Game Masters.
Yes.
And the second one was The Dungeon and Dragons Experience.
Yeah, awesome.
And they were both good documentaries and took qualitatively different approaches to the hobby.
Well, yeah.
We can safely say that.
Yeah,
the Game Masters profiled what we had about three
main ones.
Okay, and just followed their lives. What are they doing? What are they doing now?
Yeah.
What does their hobby look like? What was your response to this? Before I get into mine.
Oh. It was nice to a point, but then they brought the drama. You saw their life enough, and it was like too much stupid drama, I think. I mean, I want to know what they do in their hobby, but okay. So the one chick is a drama junkie, apparently,
yeah.
The way she talked. The other guy is trying to get his book published, but doesn't want to work. The one guy, he is the epitome of Dungeon Master versus Players.
Right.
I mean, but that was his main thing. That was it. That was the good part. His was solid because he had a stable relationship with his wife.
Yeah.
And everything else, job, reservist. Yeah. But his thing was...
That was babyface.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Because his wife comes on screen and we go, oh, look, he still lives with his mom. I mean, and then he introduced her as his wife.
Yeah, and then we saw the wedding picture and he has not changed.
Yeah, just so wow.
Babyface, yeah, but that was his main thing. But that was what I preferred. It stuck with the gaming. Yeah. Hers stuck with the drama in her life, same way with the other dude. We saw him play D&D once on the Book Rider dude. That blew.
Yeah, well, his main thing was the TV show that he's...
Yeah, I don't care. It was about D&D. The stupid show.
It, I think that's my main complaint with the documentary as
because
well.
Because he had nothing else, and they were desperate, and that's all they had.
Maybe it was hard to find people to profile like that.
Here are the three extremes.
Maybe. But it wasn't, at the end of the day, it wasn't about gaming.
No.
It was about these three individuals, and this is their life, and hey, they happen to share an interest in fantasy and sci-fi.
Yeah, because the one chick was also a LARPer.
And, that's fine, and the biopics like that have their place. I mean, we absolutely could not look away from the Wild and Wonderful Whites of... That's the Jumping Frog of Calaveras County.
Yeah, whatever.
West Virginia. The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Something like that.
God.
But this wasn't about... It wasn't about the advertising, what they advertised. It wasn't about gaming. It was about these people whose hobbies included... these interests, but it really wasn't about the interests.
Yeah, like the one dude, our baby face, he was D&D, period.
Yeah.
The girl, she did D&D and LARPing.
Yeah.
The other dude did D&D.
His TV show. And
yes, his book and TV show.
Yeah. So, the Game Masters, as a biopic goes, it was mildly interesting as a representation of the hobby. Or somebody who's interested primarily in the hobby, I would say give this one a pass.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you want to see the extremes or the bad or the what they say about certain gaming
Master styles, that's true. If you want to see all of the stereotypes come to life, and I do mean every single flippin' one of the stereotypes. This is mazes and monsters in real life.
There's another documentary out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so the other one was the Dungeons and Dragons experience.
Yeah.
And this was a much more conventional thing. They talked to people within the industry, and they talked to people on the fringes of the industry.
They were fans and devoted to it.
Yeah, and they just kind of profiled what TSR did all the way up. Well, basically from its beginning up until the time it was sold to Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that's about where they stopped.
In the end, yeah.
And that was mildly interesting. It was neat to see some of these people that they interviewed and some of the footage that they have, because this is not a new documentary. This one has been around a while.
Yeah, it has.
And I thought it was interesting, but I didn't think there was anything really, just really exciting in there.
It was just entertainment value.
Yeah.
Something to fill time, but it was interesting to find some things, see some, like I told you, Stefan was there.
Right.
The guy who made the master carver or sculptor for Dwarven Forge.
Right.
So, he talked about his style and stuff, and those were his group, so that was interesting.
It was a neat show. It was an hour long. It was relatively short, and that one, I think we found it on YouTube.
Yeah, it is, because that's where I downloaded it from.
So, It was pretty good. If you're already into the hobby and you will already know a lot of the stuff that they
or seen it
or have seen a lot of the stuff that they trotted out as new revelation.
Yeah.
But it was it's like watching the special features on a favorite movie. You already know how everything is done and what they're going to say, but you want to see them say. You want to see it done and hear them say it. Right. So, that leads kind of into our gaming topic for the day, which is a mechanic in Fate Core that, I haven't really seen in any other game system. Can you think of, another system that uses this mechanic?
No.
Kurt? Yeah.
No, there ain't no giving up. You die.
Right. And what we're talking about is the concession mechanic. What this allows a player to do is, before the dice are rolled, if you think that you are going to lose a scene, if you think that you are going to be taken out, your character is going to take more damage than you can survive, or whatever the stakes are, you can choose to concede the scene. And this gives you one fate point for concession.
Did I get my fate point?
Yeah, you got your fate points.
Yeah.
This gives you one fate point for every consequence you suffered in the scene. And a consequence is kind of a permanent, semi-permanent injury. And it allows you to have some control over what happens to your character. So let's say this is Pathfinder, and you go into a game, and you get in over your head, and you find yourself the only character in a bar, and everybody else pulls out swords and axes. What's going to happen?
Well, if you're smart, you'd run, but most don't.
Right. No.
So you die.
Yeah. You're going to get beat down to zero hit points, and you're toast.
Yes.
Now, in Fate, you get to concede. And so when this happens, you can say, well, you know, they beat the snot out of me. All right, I concede the conflict. So you retain some control over the fate of your character. In essence, it allows you to not die.
Yes. Not to be eliminated from the game.
Yeah, you can say, well, I concede. Can't they just beat me up and throw me out?
Yep.
And the game master will, you know, assign you consequences.
Broken bones, bruised,
or,
and barred,
right,
from...
based on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe consequences is the wrong word. They don't assign you anything. They change your situation based on the scene. And then you get to continue the story.
Mm-hmm.
We have this happen.
Yes.
Do you want to give us the quick recap?
Oh, let's see. What was it? We were trying. Hell, really? What the hell were we doing?
Well, you were in the cavern, surrounded by the in our Conan inspired game, fantasy themed game. The party was in a cavern underground, surrounded by a bunch of little alchemical
constructs, small things,
and a rift through to the nether dimensions had opened up, and there were these fire beetle monsters that were crawling through.
Going through in hordes or whatever.
And the party had delayed and fiddle-farted around long enough to where they had really built up a massive number of these things.
Yeah.
And what happened was the party found themselves trapped on one side of the cavern and had to fight their way across a sea of monsters in order to escape. And then they had the problem of having to shut down the rift in to the nether dimension.
Yep.
And so two of the party get all the way across, and it doesn't look like you're going to make it. So at one point you said, and this is really where I think the tide turned. At one point you said, "I'll make a distraction.
Yeah,
I'll be the distraction," which was one of your aspects.
Yep. Yeah,
so and where did it go from there?
Well, downhill.
No. Downhill.
Wait, no, that's Greg joined.
Oh. Yeah. The rest of the party got away.
Yeah.
Took advantage of your distraction.
Mm-hmm. But I couldn't get away. Well, I knew that because that's why I did the distraction. I was just, at that point, going to give up.
Right. And you know what? If this were Pathfinder, the way this plays out is...
died horribly.
They swarm you and you die.
Yeah, but this is different.
And in this particular case, that's not quite what happened, but that's what
I was
you said.
The scene because I was like, "Oh, that's it. I'll stop, and I won't let anyone else get hurt, or whatever. I'll just stop them here."
Right.
And then in the end, it's like, "Oh, I'll concede the scene,"
and which just kind of raised eyebrows because you know that's something that Greg I think
never thought of.
He doesn't occur to him that you can do that. It's too much like losing.
Well, that's the problem. It feels like losing, but at that point, I was tired. Our wizard didn't know dick.
We were out of fate points.
I wasn't out.
Were you not?
I started using them on the last roll, and that was it. But I had my little stack of three still, and I was like, Greg was using them left and right. But I saw it coming. I go, no one's solving it. The wizard doesn't have the knowledge. I don't care. So I was like, I'll stop them.
That was a hard night.
It was. But, yeah, so I decided to concede it and said, hell with it, let's see what happens.
Because right.
It was new. And, yeah, Greg's eyes went, what?
Yeah, you can do that?
Yeah.
No.
But he tried to do it at the wrong time.
So, he did,
so
didn't he?
When he did it, he's like, well, if I can't do that, well, what's the point? You know, so he didn't bother to think about it no more.
Well, he didn't read the rules. Or maybe he read the
rules.
He's
gleaned them. But he's a comprehend
to think about
the mechanics, but he didn't read them to comprehend what's in the mechanics.
And see, that's the problem. Fate is qualitatively different from everything else we've ever played. Mm-hmm. And Greg is so used to just, you know, pressing the book to his forehead and absorbing the knowledge.
And all I have to do is roll a die.
Right. But this isn't enough to, it's not enough to make the high rolls. It's not enough to do. You've got to tag those aspects. You've got to bank those fate points. You've got to use them correctly, which is something else that we can't seem to get through.
You have to be involved in the story.
But, yeah, and you know, the concession mechanic is a way to say, all right, we give in.
Yeah, and I wanted to see if it'd make them feel guilty for letting me die.
They didn't really happen that way, did it?
No, well, they were just stunned, like, he did that for us.
Right, and
no one's ever done that.
And the problem, well, maybe not problem, but the funniest thing about that is you had the solution, the means to solve the whole thing in your hands for the entire time, but
it's one of those things. Do I? I don't know. The wizard's supposed to know this crap, but he's a blasting, necromancing, lich-loving mother.
I don't know. There was some essential disconnect that we missed.
Easy. I was exhausted and tired.
Well, that could be it. That could be it.
And then Greg was doing his standard thing.
Yeah, how can I abuse the system?
How can I be a necromancer and kill everything or do whatever? Jeff, he was doing his thing, which is normal, but he would not know that stuff. That's the problem. That's the flux between it. The knowledge, skills,
right,
and knowing something about it. Like, I don't know what's going on. Is that the boy? I can't have no way to identify it. The wizard's the one.
Right.
You know, but he didn't know nothing.
Well, I think the way we resolved this in the end was I charged you a fate point for giving you the solution.
Yes.
Which was the one enchanted necklace. Yeah. And Greg tossed you the enchanted necklace so that could shut down the thing.
Yes, I put it on, become the new king or whatever it is.
Yeah, to finish the ritual and close the rift. And the concession mechanic let your character survive the process.
Yes, and I'm down there with a necklace around my neck on the throne going, fudgers.
Right, basically stuck.
No cable, no nothing. Making alchemical things because the voodoo priest goes back, yeah. So
now, the whole point of conceding is to be able to carry on the story and let the concession haunt you.
Yeah.
So if, I know we were planning to move on, but I think we might or might not get one more in on this particular campaign before we switch.
Maybe, or we try.
Yeah. One of the things we've done with our Fate campaign is after every session, after every completed story, the characters get to take away an aspect.
Yeah, change something.
Yeah. Or change something, or we've just been adding, make friends in high places or massive piles of gold or, whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Simple stuff so we don't have to think about it.
Yeah, but it creates a tangible record for where the characters have been, what they've been doing. And every now and then we can do a callback to one of those aspects, and it's neat.
Yeah, and that aspect helps you remember.
Yeah.
You don't need notes. It's very cool. You got the aspect. What happened? There it is.
Oh, hey, I tag that for a bonus. Or, hey, I can compel that and give me a fate point back. I'm going to need that for later.
Yeah.
But it's the first time that we've seen that we've lost, basically, and, essentially we lost the session.
We conceded it. We lost a player character for a bit. Rest of the party survived. The goal was met. And,
this is true.
But the party member was lost. But the next adventure could be going back and solving the solution to get him out.
This is true.
I'm not out of it. I'm just out of it. I could bring another character for now. Got the other one sitting there waiting and doing stuff.
Right.
It just, we can go back and get my other dude if we want.
It's a way for the story to continue because, we laugh all the time about one of our favorite lines from the gamers. Story trumps rules.
In this system, it does.
In this system, the rules enable the story.
Yeah.
And I think that's because the concession mechanic really kind of avoids that argument. You don't have to argue about, I can fight my way out. you don't have to.
No.
You can concede the conflict and move on with the story and keep your character and still get to do awesome stuff.
And now my character is tied to the story of that area. He's down there in the thing.
So just one more reason why we have come to really enjoy the Fate system and things that we can do with it.
Yep.
All right, guys, that's pushing the time that we like to spend on the podcast. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, the Kickstarter for Opposing Forces is still continuing. Please go check that out. If you see something you like, put your pledge up, put your hand up, and we'll make an awesome book together. But regardless, keep on gaming.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.